Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Nintendo Fanboys. Not actually, I think this is episode 70, but it might be 71. And I'm joined here today by Tim. And as always, I'll let Tim take control of the podcast, and it'll be the Tim show today.
Is it? Okay, then it's going to be short and sweet. Nah, it's cool. We actually got a lot of topics to talk about, obviously Nintendo-focused. But we're also going to talk a little bit about a new handheld system that's coming out that's pretty interesting. I would love to hear Steven's take on it. And will it challenge the Nintendo Switch? I don't think so, but we'll talk about that in a minute. First things we're going to talk about, Steven, I have on my list. Let me jot over it real quick. We have obviously the new Switch model. Finally, the Switch Pro's here, guys. Or at least it will be. Well, maybe not so much. And then we also have Monster Hunter Stories 2, which just came out. Really looking forward to hear what Steven thinks about that. If I remember right, Steven, you weren't the biggest fan of the first one, but we'll talk about that. And then we have the Steam Deck, which is the handheld I want to talk about with Steven. And then we'll go over the stats and stuff like that and anything else Steven wants to bring to the podcast as well. But which one do you want to start with first, Steven? Monster Hunter?
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So, as you all know, Monster Hunter Stories 2 came out, which is a follow-up to a Nintendo DS game, if I remember correctly. Or was it 3DS? Forgive my...
3DS.
Yeah, 3DS. So I liked it. I actually played the demo. Never bought it because it's, you know, it's kind of pointless now. And plus, I was going to buy it on, what is it called? The iPad, because it's on Android and iPad as well. I really enjoyed the demo. It was quite long, lengthy. I liked the graphic style in the presentation, and I thought it had an awesome, awesome battle system. Now, though, fast forward to 2021, we have the follow-up finally, and it is on PC, in case you guys don't know that, and the Nintendo Switch. Unfortunately, it's not going to be cross-platform support, so that means you have to pick the platform you want, which most of your friends are going to be on. So I've decided that, well, that's going to be the Nintendo Switch because Steven has it, Cranberry has it, and a few of other of our Discord members have it on the Switch. The biggest difference between the two is obviously the PC has better texture resolution and frames per second. But other than that, Steven, I don't know if you've looked on videos for the comparison. They're very, very close. There's not a huge significant difference, but it's enough to, you know, it depends on your personal preference. I don't know, are you, you're obviously happy with the Switch version. I wanted to, for you to kind of give a little bit of your history of the series, because I know you did play the first one and you weren't too fond of it.
First off, did you actually play this one? Because you told me you were going to play it and I never saw you online, so I figured you bought the PC version. So
no, perfect.
You were telling me you were going to play this for the podcast and... No, I forced myself to play it, and of course you did not.
No, I did play it on the PC, but I didn't purchase it on the PC.
Okay, you just played the demo?
Yeah, yeah, which is really, really good. And as much as I love it on the PC, I prefer the Pro controller, so I am getting the Switch version. I'm going to actually get it and stream it later today to do footage for this podcast. So our podcast footage, as you guys are hearing this on YouTube this weekend, is actually going to have the footage from tonight's stream. So it's kind of the magic of editing. But right now, it's going to be a little bit later. If I don't know. I think you're going to probably be in bed, Steven, so you won't be able to check it out. But yeah, I'm going to play it on the Switch. I decided to do that because, like I said, you, Cranberry, and some others on our Discord are on that platform. I'd rather have you guys to multiplayer than some random strangers. So I think it'll be a better... And we could do co-op co-streams on that too, by the way, like we do with Pokemon.
Yeah, how much of the demo did you play?
It's only 2 hours.
Okay, so yeah, I just checked. It was 2 hours and 25 minutes in the game. That's how much I played. So you were asking before for my history with this series. I don't really have much. I played the 3DS game for like 30 minutes, and that was it. There was a bit of a long intro, and then I got into one battle, and immediately it didn't connect with me. It kind of my fault, though. I never really gave it much of a chance, and I was under the impression that this was a Pokemon-style game, but it really isn't. It's more like a JRPG where you go, you have, I guess your party members are monsters. You can go around and not catch, but I'm not sure in the original one, this one you go in monster dens and you find eggs and you try to get the best egg and you bring it back and you hatch it, and that's how you can add new party members and whatnot. So it's really not similar to Pokemon, and that was my impression when I played the first one. I thought it would be kind of a Pokemon clone style game, and that was what I was looking for. And when I found out that it wasn't, I just stopped playing. It didn't hold my interest for some reason. This one, it's not really holding my interest either. I'm not sure if it's just me getting old and not really having much patience, or not really looking for new things. I find myself with the same similar situation on Netflix. I always go back and look at the same old stuff I always watch, because I know I'm only looking at like 30 minutes to an hour, and I want to make sure that I spend that time watching something I like. So I'm less adventurous as I grow older and more valued of my time. And I honestly would not have played this for 2 hours if it wasn't for you asking me to play this for the podcast. But maybe later I'll try some co-op stuff with you and Cran if it goes like that. But I'm just, I don't know, it doesn't hold me. It feels, I think this is more a game for the hardcore Monster Hunter fan, if you're looking for a spin-off type of adventure, because there are some similarities that I'm pretty sure Monster Hunter fan will enjoy. And the only game I played really was Rise. Like I've talked on a previous podcast with Jared, I played like in 3 days, I put like 17 or 18 hours into that game, was really into it, and then never played it again, simply because of the Rampage mode in that game, which is a tower defense mode, and just, I'm not a big fan of those. And they just knowing that I had more of those missions to do later on just discouraged me, and I never went back, which was surprising, because I was, like I said, 17, 18 hours in three days, like 5 hours a day or more. And so for me, I was really addicted, but never went back. And with stories too, it's funny, because it's a dungeon crawler. I usually like that. I like collecting items, but it's just the battle system I find boring. Like, it's every single battle almost is long, very long for some reason. And it's like, I don't know. It's not for me. It's a very good game. I'm not going to say it's not. It looks like a very good game. I had fun at first. I thought it would be, but now it just feels repetitive for me. And if I'm not enjoying the battle system that much, just don't see myself investing more time into it. But I did give it a fair shot. Maybe I'll like it more when we play co-op and stuff. But so far, it seems like this is not the type of game for me.
Well, interesting. Yeah, I remember you did talk about the first one. I asked you a few years back about it, because when I played it, I'm like, oh, well, this is pretty cool. But then you didn't work too fond of the first one. So I was kind of intrigued to see what you'd think.
Yeah, like I said, I played it for 30 minutes. So
yeah, that's
really count for an opinion.
Yeah, like exactly.
I didn't give it a fair shot, the first one.
Well, I mean, each their own. I mean, we all know you're a hardcore Pokemon fan, so maybe expectations were more of a, on the sense of a monster collection game, which is, this is technically, but it has a lot, like you said, it has a lot of stuff from the main series in there as well. I kind of like the fact that, I personally like the battle system. I think it's more interactive. You know, I love how obviously it has that rock, scissors thing, the same thing as, instead of it being fire, water, and grass, it's, you know what, technical speed and power. It's the same thing, just different wording. But I like how you do the little kinship power-ups. I like all the different ways you push a little bit of buttons. I think it just keeps a little bit more interesting than compared to the maybe older style, like, gameplay. But, yeah, right. At the end of the battles are kind of long, but I personally don't mind it. What I am looking forward to, though, is an adventure when they release the raids things, portions of the multiplayer. So that's going to be interesting, and maybe they'll be fun. Like, you know, you and I think Cranberry, we all had fun with the, obviously it's not anywhere near the same, the dungeon crawls we did with the Pokemon mode DLC. So I don't know if it's going to be that fun for you, but it'd be kind of interesting to at least try it out. And I don't know if Jared, I haven't talked to him about this game. I don't know. Do you know if he tried it? Probably not, knowing him.
Oh, Jared, I've surprisingly seen it, I think, on Sunday playing A Link to the Past on the Switch. I think it was the first time in 2 months he logged in to the Switch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I keep checking his Switch profile, and it's always saying online to check to see what if he's playing. Yeah, you're right. Last time I checked, he hasn't been on very much. And, another thing, too, I was going to bring up, what I think is interesting about the way Hunters is set up stories too, is you have kind of different ways of leveling up. Like you have the trials in there, which is kind of a arena thing that the main series has. And I kind of like the weapon upgrades. I know at the end of the day it's farming, but I don't know. I like it, but we'll see what it comes to when it comes to the arena multiplayer or the raids. I'm really looking forward to that because it's supposed to, Capcom was talking and promised that you're going to be able to get these elite monsties from raids and stuff like that. So I personally can't wait for that and the free updates. So we'll see. You know, it's each their own. Maybe it's just not like your series, but it's kind of funny. Says you, when you get older, because I remember you made a comment about the main series that you would have been all over that in your teens, but now that you're a father and limited time, not so much.
Yeah, that's right. No, I tried the first Monster Hunter game. I tried was, I believe, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate on 3DS. One of those. Maybe it was 3. I don't remember. But yeah, I was like, I played it for 2 hours and I was really, but then I got overwhelmed by all the new stuff. And that's why Rise, I really got into it, because they've mainstreamed it over the years. They've made it more reachable for like a new audience. You don't have, like, the hardcore stuff is still hidden in there somewhere, but it's a lot more, not necessarily casual, but it is friendlier towards new players. And that's why I was really addicted to Rise. And it's just, like I said, if it wasn't for that tower defense mode, I probably would have played it way more than I did. But yeah, I think Monster Hunter, like in my teen years when I was playing, like, basically 40 hours a week of video games, I probably would have been into the series a lot.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I understand. Children do come first. It's tough. And, you know, you do have to look forward one day, years from now, when your children are out and about on their own, they're grown adults. Then you'll have tons of time to game. But who knows if any of us will be in gaming when we're in our 50s and 60s. That's luckily not anytime soon. But one day.
Well, for you it is.
Oh, with these old man jokes. Okay, I see how it is. I see how it is. You're no whippersnapper yourself, son. Just kidding. But I think we covered pretty much the bulk. I am looking forward to the promised free updates for Stories 2. The reviews have been excellent. People seem to like it. I do like the art style. I know some people like the more realistic one that Rise uses, but I think this game, it fits in. And as one thing too is voice acting, which I think was, even though that cat's a little annoying, but yeah, I don't know, he kind of sometimes, I do agree with the reviewers, I thought they were being a bit hard, but he is a little annoying. But hey, each their own. At least it has voice acting, which we can't say other series has. And you know what I'm mocking right now, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe Game Freak will add some good voice acting to their Pokemon series in the future. Because I personally, I don't know about you, Steven, you did play Dragon Quest XI. I think the fact that it had voice acting really brings up the presentation of the characters a lot more. I know, obviously, Pokemon's a simple story in essence, but I don't know. It seemed like with Zelda, it's good to see. It just helps the whole package, and who wants to read anymore, right? When we can hear beautiful voice. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. But we will move on to our next thing, is the Switch has now a new model coming out, the OLED. And everyone, as you probably remember lately, last month or two, there's been so much buildup for a new Switch hardware model coming. It's going to be the Switch Pro. Bloomberg was talking about it. Oh, it's going to happen. Well, they finally announced a new model, but it's not quite what people were hoping. It's interesting. Now, here, let me cover a little bit of the facts of it. It's, the price is $349.99 USD, which is interesting. It's $50 more than the current Switch, the normal Switch, not the Switch Lite. It's going to be available October 8th, 2021. You can do pre-orders now. It has a 7-inch OLED screen. It has, one thing I really like, it has a wide adjustable stand, which is in the back. If you've seen it, it's a whole type stand. The other one that came with the original Switch is kind of dumb. It's a little bit too small, I thought. It has a new docking station, which is real cool. It does work with the current Switch. So if you guys want a wired LAN port, that is available for you. I got the USB accessory for the LAN port because I like LAN rather than wireless. It does have 64 gigabytes of internal storage, and Nintendo's claiming enhanced audio because I guess new speakers or something like that. But I think I don't know. You guys have to probably remember that the Switch is selling extremely well. So it, from a business standpoint, it doesn't make sense for them to release like a Switch Pro to alienate or segregate their audience or their user base. So I'll let you kind of think what you, your feedback on this new model and everyone's disappointment that it's not an upgrade, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised at it. Obviously, I'm big fan of the current Switch, so for me, I'm not really looking for more power right now, because like I said, I've been telling you every time you ask me about this, when the momentum of the Switch diminishes, when it stops selling, I'm sure Nintendo will announce the successor to the Switch like very soon. But as of right now, it's still the best-selling console every month. So there's really no reason for them to go and like announce the successor to the Switch. I was expecting something similarly to the new Nintendo 3DS. So, like everybody was calling it the Switch Pro. I made a comment on Austin John's YouTube video once, and it was like the most upvoted comments on YouTube, which I was really proud of because it was the first time it happened. But I said, if they do this, they will call it the new Nintendo Switch, because that's what they brand their series. They like the new Super Mario Brothers series, new Pokemon Snap, new Nintendo 3DS, etc. That's what they do. So that's what I was expecting. But the thing about that is, like, we've had a few examples. We've had the PS4 Pro, we've had the Xbox One X, and I'm not quite sure how successful those were. I'm not sure, because they did the difference with the new Nintendo 3DS, and that one Nintendo has experienced, didn't really move that more units. I think it was considered a failure, and it only had like 4 exclusive games on it, and it had those Nintendo made the Super NES game exclusive to it for some reason on the eShop, even though obviously the original 2DS could run those. I don't know why they thought this would be a good idea. At the time, I said that it was like basically you were limiting like 60 million users from buying those games. I thought it was a stupid move, but they thought it could be a selling factor, which I've always said, like, people overestimate how much these old games are a selling factor to casual audience. This is for the hardcore audience, and that market is very small. Like, the market that listens to gaming podcasts and etc. complains about the Switch Pro not happening. Like, it's a small market. Most of the market is dominating by like moms and families who buy Switches for the kids, and or just for themselves. And even PS4 and Xbox is like a large population of that those consoles. Are sports fans who buy one or two games every year, buy the new Madden, the new NHL, or the new NBA every year, and that's the only game they play. But that's a huge portion of the gaming audience that we don't really cover here. But yeah, I was surprised, but at the same time, I think this makes sense. I know people are mad or whatever, but they didn't want to release a console with improved GPU or whatever you call it. I'm not a tech guy, that would potentially make some games exclusive to this model. And even if it didn't, made some games run significantly better on this console, and then would perhaps alienate the existing fan base, which is not really a good idea when you have the system that's selling the best every month. Oh. So that's my thought. Like, for right now, I think this is a smart move. Like, I'm probably gonna get one, not right away. I'm gonna wait for like a Pokemon model, which is what I like to get, because like I play a lot of Switch on handheld, and this is a significant upgrade for handheld mode. Like, it have a bigger screen than the OLED. Like, I remember my Vita, when I used to play Vita, like, that was a kick-ass screen. So this will be cool. Like the LAN thing, I don't really care about that. What the other thing that you mentioned, the improve audio, doesn't really matter. The stand is a cool thing, but I don't really use it that often on my Switch, but it is a cool thing, because I was playing recently Hunting Simulator 2. Oh. I played that for like 65 hours, believe it or not, on the Switch. I really, really adored that game. Got everything I could with that game. It was a really fun game. If you're looking for a hunting game on the Switch. Like, Jared bought me Hunting Simulator 1 like maybe 2 years ago, and wasn't really that good of a game. But this one, like, it scratched the itch for me. It's not as good as Call of the Wild, which is probably the premiered hunting game right now, but it's a bit easier because I played Call of the Wild on PS4. The problem I had with that game was it was a bit too simulation heavy. Like, it's not of course as a simulation as the real thing when you go in the bushes trying and see something, but it, like, sometimes I would play for 2 hours and not see a single thing. And I thought that was a bit extreme. Well, in this one, it's like you can play for like sometimes 20-30 minutes without seeing a thing, but you're really getting unlucky. So I was really fun anyway. And then I kind of lost my track there. Oh yeah, I was playing in handheld mode. I think handheld, like, for shooters, the Joy-Cons are not that good with the stick, so I prefer pro controllers. So I guess that stand would be cool, but it's not really useful because I usually play on the couch or on a rocking chair rather. And you can't really use a stand on that. But yeah, like I said, for me, this is going to be cool. But I can get why some of the hardcore audience is disappointed, because they're looking for an upgrade. But, like, are they really? I'm pretty sure the people complaining are people who are playing most of their games on the PC or on consoles and not really playing on the Switch to begin with. So it's going to be interesting to see. I know you want to talk about that Steam Deck after that, which would tie with this really nice. So I'll let you speak your thoughts on the OLED model, and we can tie it up with the Steam machine.
Sure, perfect. Actually, amazing you bring up the hunting game, because I saw it on your profile. I was going to text you, hey, Steve, are you really playing that? And I was going to ask you how it is. And thinking of which, a little side note, I got a fishing game, which I'll be streaming as well on the Switch. So something a little bit different, because I kind of like those little, it's just cool little games you play in Kill Time Collection, you know, trying to beat your best record type, you know, what is it called, like arcade scoring games. It's under some arcade game, but yeah, it's kind of cool to see you play something a little bit different. And yeah, it's cool. It's good to hear you like it. And then, yeah, so I'll put my say on the Switch new model, and then we'll wrap it up with the Valve's announcement that happened this week. Obviously, you brought up the thing about the improved screen, which that's what the first thing that came up to mind was, like, would you recommend this for a current Switch user? Well, it depends on what you do. I've never played my Switch handheld, so for me it would be a waste of money. I already have the LAN port adapter. There would be no benefit for me. I don't play it remote. I get the Switch to stream or play for mostly YouTube videos, not really for handheld. I don't like handheld personally. I mean, it's never been my forte. But if you are a handheld primary Switch user, this is probably going to be, I don't think it'll ever go on sale. I was going to say maybe wait for a sale, but I don't think that's going to ever happen. Nintendo products almost never go on sale. So yeah, I can understand why you would like a larger screen, which will make us probably a big significant difference, especially when it's going to be brighter and better, probably on your eyes too, because as you know, some games the text on the handheld is a challenge. So yeah, for you, I would say yeah, it would definitely be worth it. But it depends on really what most of us what most people play their Switch for. If it's docked, then nah, I would probably say pass it. But if you are looking for a better handheld experience, yeah, that 7-inch screen is going to be beautiful. I kind of want to see it in the store myself to see the comparison, but for me, nah, it would not be something I would be interested for. And one thing, though, we're just going to tie into the Valve announcement, too. The 64 gigabytes of storage, man, you do realize that, I mean, I understand these systems have SD cards, so it's not technically an issue. But honestly, man, I don't know why they just don't ship these devices with a shit ton more. So the cost difference isn't significant. But anyways, at least it's 64 gigs, but that's going to be eat up pretty damn quick. And yeah, that's my take on it. It won't be for me. If you're primarily into handhelds and you want a new Switch with the best screen, then yeah, it's probably a good bet. The only thing is I'm kind of interested why. I mean, I understand the screen's more money, but an extra $50 for a 2017 tech system, or actually 2015 is what the Switch is kind of based on, older gens. So I don't know, but you know, like you said, we don't know the sales of like the Xbox Pro and PlayStation Pro. But I kind of think that only the hardcore get that. I don't think a lot of people really care, like you said. The mods and pods, of course, that those markets, especially Xbox, is way different from Nintendo's, so we can't really compare them in that regards. But I do think most of the hardcore people will get this, or like you said, more people that want the better premium handheld experience. But yeah, I just was kind of surprised that it's $50 more. It doesn't really make sense on since the Nintendo is an aging system, and the new gen is out too, so it's just kind of cost-wise.
Doesn't yeah, it was either going to be an upgrade, or they were going to replace the previous model, which they've already done before. Because I have the original Switch, and I bought in March Mario Edition Switch for my sons, That has a significant battery upgrade, which I never realized before how much it is of a difference, but it really is, and that's it. So the $50 doesn't surprise me. I mean, like they were either gonna replace the old model or make this a bit higher price, because it wouldn't make any sense to sell both models for the same price, right?
Yeah, so that's true. That's a good point.
They have, like, of course, if this doesn't sell, you can expect a price drop, because the market always decides, like I always tell you.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a little, don't want to change subjects too much, but like I was telling you about the Pokemon remakes of Pearl and Diamond. Yeah. It's like $59.99, you got to be kidding me. And then you're like, well, we'll see what happens.
No, it was like the way the way you said it was like childish, I thought. Because it's like this is not bread or milk. Like, this is not an essential, and this is essential thing. This is a privately owned company who's trying to make money selling something for a price that they think is fair. And if the consumer buys it like in masses, they are right. If they don't, you are right. They will decide. True. But I don't get the baby arguments that it's too expensive. It's like, if it's too expensive, don't buy it. Obviously, like for me, this is a great value. I love Pokemon. I'm like almost $800 into Sword and Shield right now, and like no end in sight. So I'm gonna be playing these like a crazy man. But for me, if they would be charging like $150 for these games, I would not buy them. But I would not complain. It's just like, I don't know. I always found it childish, because this is not, like I said, it's not bread or milk. It's not essential. If you don't like the price, like let them know by not buying it. For me, no. I don't get that argument.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the people, like, from my standpoint, I can't speak for everyone, is it's an old game, so they got the footprint in there, so it's not like they're reinventing the window. They're not even enhancing the story, I don't believe, if I remember right. Now, obviously, it does take resources to program the new engine, etc., but at the end of the day, it's still an old game that's just being ported.
You did the same thing with New Super Mario Brothers Deluxe. The Wii U game was a 7-year-old game. They put it on the Switch, same price, and they sold like, what, 8 million copies of that game?
Yeah, and what, so look at
the market is man, like,
yeah, no,
I was,
you're right.
I was like, it was with you. I was not a big fan of that, but why? Why would you not do that when people are buying it at that price?
Oh no, exactly. And look at bring up a good point. Mario Kart 8 is a port.
Yeah, obviously, it sold like 35 million copies.
Yeah,
right?
It's insane. Like, and you're right. In at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
How much money would, like, do a quick calc? If they charge $20 less at 35 million, how much money is that? That's astronomical.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you're right. It's the market that dictates it, not just these people that complain. I don't know if I'm going to get a Pearl or a Diamond remake game. One thing, though, I got to tell you, Steam, I do appreciate the old. I'm not a retro guy by any means, but I do like the visuals of it. I do kind of still like and love seeing some of the old retro overhead, you know, 2D, 2.5D, whatever you want to call it, Zelda perspective. You know what I'm talking about, the overhead. I do still like that. I still like seeing companies doing that. But I've gotten older, I don't really buy games. There's some exceptions like Rise and obviously Monster Hunter Stories 2. Those type of games, the reason I pay full, because to me, I demand 1 hour per dollar for investment. Meaning, if I get a $60 game,
I get it. I've always mentioned that that argument too. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's important to me.
I always said, like, would you, let's say you bought a game at $60 and you played it for 30 hours, that's $2 an hour. I always tell people, would you work for $2 an hour? And it's no, so that's a good advancement, I think. But, yeah.
Yeah, so you're on the same page as me. So that's why I like multiplayer games like Stories 2, Pokemon. Pokemon, actually, I got a shit ton of hours out of it without the multiplayer. And then, like, Rise, endless possibilities until you get shit. Face bored out of it, but you could easily sink hundreds and hundreds, or if not thousands, of hours into it. So to me, it pays for itself tenfold. But that's why, like Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, I don't know if I'll be sinking as many hours as I did.
That's the thing, though. I'm not super. That's the thing. I'm not super like hyped about those remakes. Like,
oh, okay.
I would have preferred if they would have used the Sword and Shield system, because I'm a big, like, I really love playing VGC on Sword and Shield. Like, every season I'm getting to Master Rank, and next season at the end of this month, they're banning Dynamax for 3 months, which is going to be interesting. So it's like, it's really fun. And now I'm like, what are they going to do with the VGC now? Are they going to make Pokemon World Championships, if they return next year, they've been canceled 2 years in a row because of COVID. Are they going to make them and keep them in Sword and Shield, or are they going to keep them in these remakes, which are technically inferior? So I'm not sure what's going to happen, because when Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee was released, they kept the Pokemon World Championships in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. So I'm wondering what they're going to do here. I kind of hope they keep them in Sword and Shield, but we'll see. I'm not the biggest fan of the look. I would have preferred the Sword and Shield engine, but I'm going to play these because Pokemon is my favorite series. Like I said, $800 into Sword and Shield, and I know I'm going to get my advancement worth out of these. But the thing is, also, Gen 4 is my least favorite generation of Pokemon by far.
Oh, interesting. So
that's why I'm not really looking... not really that hype for these remakes, but sometimes it's better to underestimate. When you underestimate something, you end up being pleasantly surprised more often than not. So maybe this will happen for me. But I'm also actually more hyped about Legends Arceus, which will be in January, I believe, 28th or 29th of January. So that's going to be something else that's going to be interesting for me. But yeah. Like, the remakes, I don't think they're going to be for you, because the last time, I believe, you were playing, Sun and Moon, I think you'd never finished those, and same with Black and White, if I remember right, or X and Y, so I don't think this will be for you, because these are old games, man, and I'm sure they'll add, most of the, or hopefully all of the quality of life improvements that Sword and Shield brought, but, yeah, I don't think these are... Remakes typically don't sell as well either. You're probably going to be looking at 10 million sales from these games.
That's still really good. But yeah, you're
good.
Right.
Sword and Shield, I think, are at 22 right now, 23. So you're not going to get people, if people say these games were a disappointment because they sold 10 million. Like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon only sold 9 million copies, I think. Like it's always like this for remakes and the third games in a series, whatever you want to call them. So.
Thinking of Sword and Shield, we do need... I know you're really tight on time, but one of these days, we could get Cranberry. We should do some of those dungeon crawls. I still like that. But...
You always ignore me when I ask you. You always pretend not to see my text until late at night. You're pulling a Jared on me.
I know, right? I need to stop that. But no, we do need to get that, because I actually do enjoy our co-op streams of that. It's a lot of fun. Plus, we usually get to... audience participation too, which is interesting, and they always want to. But anyways, yeah, I do enjoy do that, and we'll see if Cranberry's available. But I think Cranberry, I don't know if she's playing. She's really into Stories 2 and Lunar 2 or something like that. You know, Cranberry's really into
a lot of Pokemon Shield lately. Like just before I got here, she was on playing Shield.
Interesting.
She loves those multi battles. She's always doing those.
Which they're fun. The only problem is, it's not as fun. I personally don't think it's good as the real Wi-Fi battle or the competitive
version? Now, the problem with multi-battles is you can't set it up in a way that, let's say, I could pair up with Cranberry and just challenge random people. You either have to challenge three random people and you're paired up with someone random who might do some really stupid stuff, or you can like match up with four people and then the teams are random. So that's pretty much it. So it kind of sucks. I would really enjoy this if I could like pair up with Cranberry and just challenge random people. I know I would love this. This would be fun, but the way it is right now, it's not really, it has its limitations.
Yeah. And I do want to touch base on the new Pokemon game coming out. A couple things. I will most likely get that because I kind of like the whole, I think that's the progression of the system. I mean, you can still keep its core thing with the cities and stuff. I hope they do a little bit different with the training, maybe make it a little bit more freedom based. But the visuals are interesting. I know they're pre-alpha and stuff, but don't you think it looks like a weird kind of hybrid, kind of almost like a kind of like I got the Monster Hunter Rise vibe from the visuals. Obviously they're not done, but do you like what you've seen in terms of
I don't know, if you hear it, obviously they're not done, and that's true, but the game is coming out really, really soon.
Yeah, exactly. So that means,
unless like they've been showing us like extremely early footage, I can't see them like having a massive improvement. So though, I don't expect much from this game in terms of visuals. I think it is what it is. Like I've said many times, I don't think Game Freak are very good at developing console games. Like Sword and Shield is not necessarily the best looking game, although I think people are a little harsh on it sometimes. But like even like a Little Tree Hero, whatever, the Little Town Hero, which I thought was really fun, but the game was like not like had a lot of glitches and bugs and didn't look that great. I don't think Game Freak are that good at developing console games, so I think that's just a problem right now. But I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a nice like a side game, nice change, like going back to the old Pokemon, the old lore, which is something I've always wanted to go back when they were catching Pokemon with Apricorn balls. although in this game, it doesn't seem like it's going to be Apricorn balls, but rather like balls with like vapor coming out of them that you need to crank to catch. So it's going to be interesting, and you're going to be making the very first Pokedex for the it's not Hoenn. What's the region of Gen 4? It's not.
Oh Jesus, that's a good
question. No, it's not Is it Johto? No, Johto is Gen 2. Hoenn is Gen 3. Kanto is Gen 6.
It's interesting because you said Gen 4 was your least favorite, so you're forgetting the region to kind of. It's funny.
Sinnoh.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
So it's going to be, you're going to be building the very first Sinnoh Pokedex.
Interesting.
Like, I'm really looking forward to that. Like, I think it's going to be a really awesome game for people like me. Like, I'm not expecting like 9s and 10s. I think it's going to be more in the 7, 7.5 range in Metacritic or whatever, but I think it's going to be a blast to play for hardcore Pokemon fans like me, and I hope that there's some kind of Pokemon Home integration into that game, so you're going to be able to bring those Pokemon to other games in the future or something like that, but we'll see.
I'm pretty sure it will, and then it'd be interesting. I kind of hope it does have some improved multiplayer, but that might be wishful thinking.
No, there's not going to be any multiplayer for that game
you're
at all.
Serious? Yeah, wow,
it's
okay.
It's a single player game, man.
Oh, okay, that's okay then. That's fine. But I do hope they have some kind of integration, because you're right, it'd be kind of cool to be able to use those Pokemon elsewhere. So what we're going to do is we're going to switch gears to Valve, and just to let you guys know, most PC fans or people know who Valve is. They make Steam, which is a storefront similar to Epic Game Stores and others, like PlayStation Store and Google Store. It's their own entity, which has a shit ton of PC games on it. But what they're doing is they are entering the handheld market. They are making what they call the Steam Deck, a very interesting name. It's basically a handheld, and I'll go over the stats real quick. And obviously, Steven, you're not familiar with a lot of Stevie's PC hardware facts, but that's fine. It's basically a handheld gaming PC. It is substantially more powerful than the Nintendo Switch. And then we'll talk about what you think about this another person entering the handheld market, and will it affect Nintendo? I don't think so. But let's go over the stats. There's going to be three models available. It's for $399 with 64 gigabytes of storage on an eMMC storage platform, which is basically speed access. It's all kind of like SSD. The next model up is going to be $539 with 256 gigabytes on a NVMe SSD, which is good performance upgrade. And then the final model is going to be for $649, 512 gigabytes with the same SSD storage as the middle model. It is going to be, so your performance hungry guys, the more elite gamers would definitely want to invest in the higher speed. But Steam said there will be no difference in performance and frames per second resolutions on all three models. They are identical in guts. The only difference between them is internal storage and the SSD upgrades. Of course, it supports micro SD cards, so you could, just like Nintendo Switch and all other stuff, you could get your more storage, because let's be honest, 64 gigs is a joke. 256 gigs is a joke. 512, it's workable, but even that, let me just give you an example. Witcher 3, which was one of the best games, is like 150 gigs. So right there, the first model can't even support it. The second model, you'd be using over 50% of it. So SSD cards or your micro SD cards are going to be your best friends. It has several different type of controls. It has two dual analogs. It has two touch pads right underneath the analogs, which they claim will give you mouse-like interface options for people who prefer that. First-person shooter fans will definitely probably appreciate that, because analog sticks traditionally are a little bit slow. But from the feedback from the media press, have said that the analog sticks actually work very good with first-person shooters. I don't know if they were, how much of that's true, but we'll have to see when you get it on hand. I personally probably wouldn't buy this, but let's go over the facts. It's powered by an AMD APU, which is based on AMD's older Zen 2 architecture. So it's kind of a little bit of a disappointing that it's a little aged hardware-wise, but that's fine. Freedom of all USB devices, keyboard, mouse, and docking stations. So they are going to be selling an official docking station with it, but as extra. But you can use any USB-C docking station on the market for any PC, so there's a freedom. It comes with the Steam OS, but you can install Windows 10, Windows 11, Mac OS. I don't know about Mac OS, but Linux, anything you want. Just like a PC, you have no limitations. And the thing is, the statement might not be 100% factual, but like Nintendo Switch, Vita, all these handhelds, released with, their premier thing. This is going to be one of the first handhelds that literally has thousands upon thousands of games at launch. Well, it's kind of cheating, because honestly, Steam isn't new, so it's a platform that's existing. And what's good about it is all your existing games that you have, like I own a bunch of Steam games. If I were to get this, bam, it's there available for me. And what's also cool, Steven, I think this is kind of something we've kind of talked about a little bit, that Switch is starting to utilize in other consoles, is let's say I'm playing The Witcher 3 on my PC. I save my file. It's cloud saving, of course. I go to this device and I boot up, and let's say I want to lay in bed and play The Witcher 3. It'll have exactly the same save, so it's no difference. The Witcher 3, actually, for the Nintendo Switch, also supports this technology, so I can play The Witcher 3 on my PC, save the file to the cloud, and if I had it on the Nintendo Switch, I could load my game up and play it there. So it's not new, but it's obviously a no-brainer that they would support the cloud feature of their platform. And also, if you don't want to use your Steam library, you could use the Epic Store and competitors on it as well. This is basically a PC, a handheld PC with no limitations. So, and it supports the Microsoft gaming platform like Game Pass and Xbox cloud services. So you can play your Xbox on it as well. So it's basically, like I said, it's a PC. It's supposed to begin shipping in December of 2021. No firm date yet. you can do pre-orders on Steam and stuff like that. So yeah, it's, I don't know if you looked at what it looks like, Steven. It looks kind of bulky. It has some extra triggers on the back, which is kind of nice. But what do you think? Is this the Nintendo Switch Pro that we're all promised but or deserved but never got? And do you think it's going to hurt Nintendo in any way?
No, I do not think it's going to hurt Nintendo. But I do think this will. This is kind of like a nice niche boutique item. I think this will have an audience. The first thing about I want to mention though is that those, I don't like the button layout of the machine. Like they should have learned from the Wii U. Like the control sticks need to be, they can't be parallel to each other. They need to be one on the up and then like a regular controller. I don't know if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
This is bugging me. And those buttons you have on the back that you mentioned. Some I bought a few Switch third-party controllers for my sons, and they all have those, and they're extremely annoying because they're almost impossible not to hit when you're playing by accident. So I'm not a fan of those buttons either. Mm-hmm. But besides that, this is a nice. It's only $50 more than the OLED model, and you're getting a significantly more powerful machine for that price. So obviously this sounds like a good deal. I don't really know what else to add. I think this is a good item. I don't really have much bad to say about besides the questionable button layouts that they have. I'm going to be curious about the battery life because battery life, what they tell you in PR is always, it's bullshit. Like a fisherman's story. It's never the true. So I'm going to be curious about what the battery life is, because the battery life for the Switch that it is right now, if you have the original model, is not that good. Like you're looking at 2 to 3 hours max, and that's if you're playing like on like with earphones and whatnot. Like if you're playing full blast and you're playing Witcher 3 on your Switch, you're not going to be getting much more than 2 hours of it. So I can't imagine this system having a much stronger battery life than that. But besides that, like, I think this is going to be a pretty cool item. Like, if I would be interested in this if there were any game in there that I would actually legitimately play. Like, let's be honest. Like, I'm not going to play any of these games anytime soon. I don't have the time and whatnot. But if I was younger, like, this is definitely something I would be looking at for sure.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point because I actually thought about you when this came out because I know you don't have a competitive PC in terms of gaming. And this is actually, it kind of could be an entry point for people who are not either one, don't have a gaming PC, two, aren't comfortable with the PC's keyboard and mouse configuration because I know you've said several times to you the controller is very important and you don't like the keyboard and mouse configuration. What's cool about it, this supports it, but in theory, I guess Nintendo, you could hook up a USB keyboard for typing, but I don't know if you can use it for games. But so for someone, and it's also very cheap for what it does. It's obviously not top tier. It's never going to, no handheld, there's just no technology out there to make it affordable that you're going to have the highest beautiful rendering 4K. It's just not possible on the handheld platform because of cost and just because there's the technology there. But for what it does, and you're right, it is a significant upgrade for the Switch, which makes me think of this OLED model is only $50 less, and this thing's much more powerful, and you get a lot more bang for your buck. But I could see potentially for people that don't have PCs as a nice alternative to having a mobile or gaming PC on the go. And like I said, I kind of would love to hear what Jared said about it. I texted him about it, but he never answered back because, you know, he's more of a techie guy too, so it'd be kind of interesting what he thinks. But I do agree with you. It's going to be niche. It's not going to, I don't think it's going to threaten Nintendo in any way, but it maybe they could look at it and say, well, shit, we do have to focus on a little bit more hardware. Because, you know, I think Nintendo GameCube was the last competitive console they made, right, in terms of visuals and graphics where it was comparable to the competition. Since then, they've just ditched that. They don't even, dude, Nintendo doesn't even release their official stats for their systems anymore. You have to get that from third-party resources, which is, I find, ridiculous. Jared says it's because they don't want people to focus on that or know about it, which is ridiculous.
Well, it really doesn't matter either. It's the software itself.
Exactly.
The hardcore, like you and the hardcore, are the only one who talks about it, but really doesn't matter.
No,
like you're right. The thing with this machine, which, like I said, significantly more powerful, but the Switch has the Switch games that people want to play, and Steam has its own audience, of course, but I don't think people playing whatever the games you play on your Steam machines or your PCs are the type of people who play handheld games. Like, you don't.
No.
Like, you never play your Switch in handheld mode. I'm pretty sure most people like to play with their mouse and keyboard and their headset and their nice surround sound system, and they play on their big, huge, whatever, 50-inch screens and what you want. I don't think, like I said, I think this will be a nice niche. It really is. It offers a lot for your buck, but it's still for the general audience that, like, 75% of the Switch is composed of. They probably won't even know this thing exists. So
no, you're 100%.
That's why, like, we could be dead wrong here. Maybe this, like, kills Nintendo for some reason and becomes the next big sensation. But I just, like, Breath of the Wild is usually huge, underrated. How much of the success of the Switch is due to Breath of the Wild? Like, that game was a killer app, sold like 20 million copies, which I think no Zelda game even came close to 10 before that. So it's, as long as Nintendo can produce the hits, like, it doesn't matter if they bring out a new OLED system, like, in 2 years that costs $100 more and doesn't offer any, as long as they have the software, people will keep buying the machine, mm-hmm. and the hardcore will keep complaining. But that's just it. Like, this new thing is a great option for people who like handheld gaming and are curious about Steam machines. But I don't think there's a huge demand for PC gamers to be able to play their games on the go. But I could be wrong. Like, there are people who like to buy, like, gaming laptops, and this seems to be able to do most of what the laptops are at a significantly lower price. So maybe the time will prove me wrong, but I still think that this is a niche boutique item that will have its audience, but I don't expect, like, a massive success here.
And I agree with you 100% because, as you know, I play a lot of more PC games, and 99.9% of them I would not play on the go. If I wanted to burn some money just to have it for a cool little toy, I might, but I'm not into really the handheld thing. I prefer being on my screens and, like you said, headsets and all that jazz. So for me, it's definitely not something. But what I do like about it is that it's technically, you weren't only that, can't classify it as competition, but at least we have a handheld device that is very good internal guts, and hopefully it's just going to make future Nintendo products a little bit more competitive. Because another thing too is third-party support, I think, has been really good on the Nintendo Switch, and it's amazing that they even got a game like Witcher 3 to run on it. But it would be nice for future games not to have so many hurdles to jump over to just to get it running on a Nintendo platform. And that's an argument that Jared and I have been and I'm pretty sure with you over the years, it's just like, it's just, I don't know. Nintendo does their own thing. It's obviously successful because look at how profitable they are. Numbers don't lie.
This is a domain that me and Jared were massively wrong on. We did a podcast many, many years ago when the Switch was still called the NX, and we called it, like, the here's why the NX will fail or something like that. And one of our big arguments was third-party support, and when we're saying that, because the NX was going to be underpowered compared to the other consoles, that it was not going to be able to get third-party support. And it's kind of true. Like, they're not getting much third-party support. Like, there are exceptions here and there, and they're mostly getting indie games and a few exclusives here and there. But, like, the big games, like Witcher 3 was was an older game. Like, it was on the PS3, right?
Yeah.
Or was it?
It is. I don't know if it was on PS3.
Maybe not.
Here, but
maybe I'm wrong, but it was an older game. But, like, Skyrim was in PS3 and Xbox 360, stuff like that. Like, you're seeing these type of games on the Switch diminish. Like, you're not seeing much more. But does it really matter? It doesn't seem to matter. I think Jared and I were really wrong on this because we both thought that this would impact the Switch, but it seems like it doesn't. So maybe they don't really need the big third-party games to come to their consoles, as long as they have the indies and as long as they have some third-party support here and there, like Monster Hunter Rise, Monster Hunter Stories, and, like, most of the third-party stuff that's not necessarily high graphics games, they do come to Switch. Or
yep.
I'm not really sure that it matters as much as I did way before, when obviously we predicted the Switch was going to be a failure. Jared and I were both really wrong on that end. So who knows, really, what matters anymore.
No, that's true. And it's funny you bring that up, because I was looking at when I was uploading a video to YouTube, I saw a comment and it says, oh, you guys were kind of wrong about this. So I clicked on it. It was your podcast where you and Jared said the Switch is going to fail. And the guy, I think it was about a month ago or so, if you go on there, I don't know if he said it. I think he said it to the main Project CUE, so you probably didn't see it. But he said, yeah, you guys were wrong about that. And it's kind of funny. I laughed because, yeah, because I didn't think the Switch was going to be anything other than maybe Japan, because Japan, as we all know, mobile gaming's king there. So I thought maybe it's going to be great there. But I was surprised how successful it is. Isn't it? And another thing, too, you're right about the third party. If you look at the top selling, 20 or 30 games on the Nintendo Switch, 99% of them are first party or second party games. So there is some, like Among Us, I couldn't believe Among Us, I think, is 15th or something like that. So that's been extremely successful on the Switch. But yeah, you're right. And it's interesting. But the thing is this, though, is like Nintendo, I understand they like their little gimmicks and that, but you can have great graphics and great gameplay. It's not like the old days where either you couldn't have both, right? Like 8-bit days, well, at the time they were cutting edge. But yeah, it's just they do like to make profit off of their hardware, which very few companies do, and I can understand it from a business standpoint. But at the end of the day, guys, it works. Look how good they've been doing, and they know what they're doing, even though haters will be haters. But at the end of the day, numbers don't lie. So it doesn't matter what we think. It's what the results are. And they're obviously extremely happy with what they're doing with their Nintendo Switch. And, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they do again. But I'm not their target market. But, you know, I've enjoyed my time on the Switch. I'm going to play this. I'm going to stream a little bit in a couple hours. I'm going to stream Stories 2. I do like Rise. I was playing that off stream a little bit. I do bulk of my playing on stream so I could record it. But so I'm obviously not their target market, but it's still, they do, we can't deny that they do make a quality product at the end of the day. And thinking of quality product, I'm also going to buy Mario Golf. I've always loved that series. It's a great time killer. Have you played that, by the way, Steven? Mario Golf? The new one?
Yeah, I've played it, but not really much, because I was going to play it with my younger one, and I wanted to play it with the motion controls, because obviously for kids it would be more fun, and I couldn't get the thing to work. So discouraged me. It was like, how complicated is hitting a ball with a Joy-Con? It, like, I don't know. I could not do it. Like, I tried for like 10 minutes and couldn't hit the damn ball, so... I never played the game again, so we'll see.
But your initial impressions, though, did you like the presentation? I hear reviews have been good about it, but there's some things they said was lacking. But they said that new speed mode is really fun.
So. Okay, no, like I said, I was frustrated, never played it again.
Oh, okay.
It looks like it's a bare-bone games for now, but they're going to add a lot more free content later on.
Nice,
so
nice.
I think that's the deal with the game right now. Not sure.
All right. I think we're at the hour mark, Steven, so I really appreciate your time. We got to... you know, obviously it's summertime, so stuff in the fall and winter and what's it called? Christmas is coming, so I'm pretty sure we'll have a lot of shit to talk about then. But I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. So hopefully we can do more of these, and you stop putting a jar on me and ignoring me. But yeah, I'll be looking forward to streaming some Dynamax Adventures with you and Grant.
Perfect. All right, guys. Thank you for watching, and we will catch you next time.